As someone who has given birth twice, it is difficult for me to imagine that anybody could be full-term pregnant and not know it, but it happens. This phenomenon is called cryptic pregnancy, and it's more common up to 5 months. About 1 in 400 pregnant folks don't know they're pregnant until they're about 5 months pregnant, but it also can be experienced all the way to birth. That's more rare, but 1 in 2,500 pregnancies are unknown to the mother until they are in active labor. For statistical comparison, that's about 3 times more likely than having triplets, which also sounds terrifying. I cannot imagine how crazy that would be for those people to start having labor pains and not knowing that they're going to have a baby, and soon. They must feel like they're going to die. And because they're not aware of their pregnancies, these mothers often don't end up getting to the hospital, and they're more likely to have complications. This morning's epistle suggests that the world, the church, all of creation, and we as individuals are pregnant with something that will be birthed for the healing of the world. The birth pangs of which are evident in our lives, pain of labor, whether we realize it or not. Humans have an aversion to pain, for good reason. Pain sends important messages to the brain to protect us. It keeps us from accidentally cutting our fingers all the way off when we're chopping vegetables. And it disrupts us from burning ourselves when we get our hands too close to the fire. Most times, pain means something is wrong. But with birth, pain means that something really exciting is about to happen. New life that's going to change everything. As our epistle reminds us this morning, we are destined to give birth to new things. We are meant as Christians to continually birth new life into God's world, and that will change everything in God's love. Our communities, ourselves, our future. I don't think anybody would tell you that birth is comfortable. And once the process starts, it's like getting on a freight train that will not stop. It gets more intense and painful as the child gets closer to the entrance of the world. And there is a reason that this language of birthing is in Scripture. It reminds us that not all pain is to be avoided in community and in our personal lives. It reminds us that there is some pain that will bring new life. It reminds us that sometimes resisting the pain, ignoring the pain, running from the pain, keeps us from the blessing of the new thing. In birth, when the pain gets most intense, with contractions, right? If you have ever seen anyone give birth or given birth yourself, they have this little chart that shows the severity of the contractions, and they get stronger and stronger and stronger, and you get these contractions, and then it gets a little better and it comes off. But when these intense times come, that's the time to push. It's the time to work with the body, with nature, with the Creator, to bring new life. Where might we be feeling birth pains? Where might new life be trying to come forth through our community, through our individual lives, into our families? My guess is that if we follow pain and pay attention, we might see places of growth, opportunities for newness, birth pains waiting to bring something new, something transformative, something uncontrollable, something of love into our world. If you've ever awaited the birth of a child, you know that when that child is born, the metrics of what you might have expected go out the window. The plans you had for the perfect routines are thwarted by the real reality of a tiny human in your house. The ideas that you had about how to parent, even if it worked with a previous child, thrown out the window. Basically, nothing is exactly as you had imagined. Or you implant. And now times that by every single milestone of parenting, from newborn all the way through. I see many of you who are farther along than me, and I know every single time. Church, can we trust that some of the pain we might be experiencing in our lives could be to bring life? Can we be curious and ask God what new thing is coming? Can we stop running, stop denying, stop fighting, and start pushing through into the new thing that God has for us as individuals, as families, as a community of faith, as a community in San Antonio? I can't speak for every mother, but often we don't dwell on the pain and the blood and tears that marks our children's entrance into the world. When we think back on the birth moment, we remember the first time that we meet that tiny stranger that had been growing inside of us. Our lives are changed forever. This morning's gospel, with its agricultural parable that goes along with all the agricultural parables that Mark has been so faithfully preaching about these last 3 weeks, shows us why it is important that we allow this newness to be birthed into the world. One of the most difficult theological questions that I get as a pastor and that we have as communities of faith is, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there evil in the world? Why do people hurt each other? Why genocide? Why war? Why the pain and suffering of innocents? Why the pain and suffering of anyone? The parable that we read this morning does not give us a why, but it gives us a hope for the future and a reminder that God's got us. The evil in the world grows around us, right next to the good. That does not mean we give up, but we must stay as strong as possible for that day when God's love prevails, when evil is uprooted and pain is no more. This does not satisfy our longing to, as an end to all evil, and it's not a succinct little answer that helps us figure out why there's evil in the world. But it does remind us that our work, that our birthing, that our faith toward a hope that will not disappoint matters. It means that our work against evil is not in vain. And sometimes the best way to go about eradicating evil is not to pull it out ourselves, but instead to add more goodness and love into the world. When we focus on the negative, we become negative. When we focus on what we do not like, we become hardened and mean. When we focus on what we think should not belong, we exclude. When we entertain and feed our anger and our unforgiveness, we poison our love and compassion. When we focus on those weeds, we cannot do God's good. Beloveds in Christ, hear this morning. Leave the weeds to God and birth goodness into the world. Focus on what you can do to bring love in every circumstance. Don't run away from the pain of something new. Lean into it and become a pathway for the holy. I love praying for you all during the week. I do it all the time in this place and other places. And one of the ways that I pray for this church is with the mantra, only love in this place. Only love in this place. Only love in this place. For all of us, for San Antonio, for the world. Church, we are asked to birth love into the world. It will not be without pain, but any of the pains that we experience in the meantime will be beyond worth it to embrace the new life awaiting us. So put your trust and hope in the God of love and resurrection, and trust what comes next. Amen. Let's sing.